Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength. You are the one who saves us, the Lamb of God. In your name we pray. Amen. We shall overcome. Those of you who lived through the 60s, whenever you hear that song, you will think, or you do think, of the civil rights movement of the 1960s. We think of Pete Seeger, one of the great protest singers of the 60s, who reawakened this hymn in the consciousness of people. We think of Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow. However, in truth, this song has been used all over the world, in places like South Africa, in places in Eastern Europe, where people have felt the despair of oppression and hardship. But it has also been sung to speak of the indomitable spirit of humanity that in the toughest of times will not give up. It may not be in the singer's lifetime, but it is an expression of faith that it will happen. Who can ever forget King's stirring words spoken shortly before his assassination? That he one day had a dream, and one day he and all people, people of color and white people, all people would see the promised land. And this is from the lips of a man who had been gassed, beaten, imprisoned, the leader of a people who had been lynched, set upon by fire hoses and attack dogs, and terrorized. Either he was a hopelessly crazed fanatic or a prophet's prophet. I'm reminded of another time when a man said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A man dressed in camel's hair, who ate bugs and had a wild look about him. Either he had a mind that had been warped by the hot sun of the wilderness, or he was a prophet's prophet. I think of the one who says that the nation that is in exile, that is despised and abhorred by kings and princes and nations, will one day have all the others prostrating themselves before it. He is either hopelessly delusional, or he's a prophet's prophet. With the mess that we have going on in Washington, one week before President-elect Trump is inaugurated, with talks of spies and Russian election involvement, nepotism, the rise of hate crimes and attacks since the election, and a host of other concerns and issues, one wonders if we will ever overcome anything. In his book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community, published in 1967, Martin Luther King Jr. writes, and I'm using his writings, so please excuse my use of the word Negro. "And so being a Negro in America is not a comfortable existence. It means to be part of the company of bruised, battered, the scarred, and the defeated. Being a Negro in America means trying to smile when you want to cry. It means trying to hold on to physical life amid psychological death. It means having your legs cut off and then being condemned for being a cripple. Yet for his own inner health and outer functioning, the Negro is called upon to be as resourceful, as productive, and as responsible as those who have not known oppression and exploitation. This is the Negro's dilemma. He who starts out behind in a race must forever remain behind or run faster than the man in front. What a dilemma. It is a call to do the impossible. It is enough to cause the Negro to give up in despair. I do not, by sharing these words, profess to know the depth of the pain and the feeling that is expressed by them. I am a product of white privilege. Nor do I minimize the suffering inherent in them by equating them to some of my own despair or pain or suffering. But that being said, there are some similarities to that of a Christian who is faced daily with what at times, and certainly times like ours today, that can be construed as nothing less than a godless world. We feel the pain of the suffering servant in Isaiah when he thinks he's preached in vain and his labor has been expended for nothing. Vanity. For all our talk about God and Jesus in this country, it seems that not much is changing. The promised land is just as far off as it was in the beginning, or even a week ago. Or excuse me, beginning or 1,000 years ago, or 100 years ago, or 25 years ago, or even a week ago. I worked hard after the election to find positives and to have hope. But I've seen that diminish a little bit just even in the past week. I listen to votes in the halls of Congress and read reports of national security experts, hear about tweets. How much has changed? And if it has, is it for the better or the worse? We shall overcome someday. We can also say that as we shall not be overcome. Julian of Norwich, a 14th century mystic, once wrote, "This word, thou shalt not be overcome, was said full subtly and full mightily for sureness and comfort against all tribulations that may come." He said not, thou shalt not be troubled, thou shalt not be travailed, thou shalt not be distressed, but he said, thou shalt not be overcome. It is God's will that we take heed to these words, and that we be ever mighty in faithful trust in weal and woe. For he loveth us and liketh us, and so willeth he that we love him and like him, and mightily trust in him. And all shall be well. When things are going downhill or seem to be going downhill, we can trust that God is going uphill. It may seem against the law of logical reasoning. It may seem to us that we are more a fanatic for trusting God than a prophet's prophet. But as Julian writes, God loves us and likes us. And in the end, whenever that may be, all will be well. In fact, as Jean Blomquist writes, God may be creating a fullness and richness for our lives. In an article that she wrote entitled "Daily Dancing with the Holy One," she writes, "By calling us beyond what we are or think we can be, whether in relation to ourselves or others, God surprises us with a sense of the potential of our fuller humanity, our being in the very image of God. God pulls us to our feet, holding our hands as we struggle to dance in rhythm with life. Out of our feeble selves, we come into a fullness that is possible only when we have God as our center." Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe. In the same breath that the prophet in Isaiah writes, the thought of laboring in vain, comes these words. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. And in the next verse, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and God has become my strength. Last week, we reflected on the idea that all of us are God's beloved. God does honor us by calling us beloved daughters and sons. And we can find our fullest joy and potential, our surest hope, when we trust God. When it appears that God's plan, that God's promise, the kingdom of God is not possible, we can trust God that it is possible. You may call me a hopeless fanatic for saying that, or you may call me idealistic to a fault. But there is that strong chance when, as Paul says, we will fully know. We will know the promise to be true. King had a dream. He looked and saw into the promised land. He saw a place where brothers and sisters of all races and creeds could and would dwell with justice and in peace. As we look at what is happening in Washington, as we listen to the fear of our brothers and sisters of different faiths, different sexual persuasions, different cultures, as we listen to the fear of women, let us hold on to King's dream and vision, for they are just as applicable today as when he first said them. In his book, Martin Luther King quotes a poem by Langston Hughes, entitled Mother to Son. Well, son, I'll tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had a few cracks in it, and splinters, and boards torn up, and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, eyes have been climbing on, and reaching landings, and turning corners, and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn your back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it kind of hard. Because don't you fail now. For I'm still going, honey. I'm still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Friends, God is still with us. In this crazy, messed up world. A world where a lot of people are hurting. And God still loves us. God still likes us. And despite all the news to the contrary, we shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe the Lord will see us through someday. So let us keep climbing on, even when our life is no crystal stair.